So Christmas is known as the season of giving, the giving of gifts. And there's four spiritual holidays that I'm aware of in December that all have some aspect of gift giving. One is the Hanukkah, one is Yule, one is Christmas, and one is Kwanzaa. So we have this gift giving season. And so some questions to ask about. So who do you give gifts to? Well, you give gifts to your kids, to your family members. You may give gifts to your friends. You may give gifts to your coworkers. You may give gifts in a white elephant. We've all done those, right? A gift-giving exchange. You might give gifts to your neighbor. You might just be giving to an organization that is doing good work, Toys for Tots. So there's many avenues through which we give gifts. So that's the who. And now, what type of gifts do you give? Well, we can give store-bought gifts or Amazon-bought gifts, whichever, right? You know, we could purchase handmade gifts. I went to the Indigenous Center Bazaar this weekend, and I bought myself a gift because it said, and I wanted to support the Indigenous community, so they had a bazaar, and it was lovely, and I knew that Spirit wanted to share my abundance and to receive something back. Also, baked goods. So there's a couple walnut cream rolls that are out there from the Indigenous Center as well. So there's many type of gifts that we actually can give. And gift cards. Who likes to get gift cards? It's the easiest way. Here, buy whatever makes you happy, right? So now we got the who and the what type. And here's why do you get gifts? Why do you purchase gifts and give them? Well, there's many reasons. It might be that you have a sense of obligation. Anybody ever have a sense of obligation? And maybe some fear, if I don't get this person a gift, I'm going to end up hearing about it or something. We may be giving gifts out of tradition. It's tradition. We always give these gifts. I had a tradition and my brother and sister said, stop it. You don't have to do that anymore. I'm like, okay. I send them nuts now because, you know, get the tray of nuts. They'll enjoy that. We're all nuts. So we might give gifts that have love attached. We might give gifts in love, and we might just give gifts because it's what I do, right? Why do we give the gifts? Well, it might be just to acknowledge that I know that you exist, and I like to give you a gift because I acknowledge your presence. It might be appreciation gift. I love you and I care about you. I'm giving you a gift. Now, most gifts tend to be the material or tangible sort, right? Have you ever gone in a store and been amazed at how much stuff was in the store? I mean, honestly. And then you multiply that by going to a mall. I can get overwhelmed when I think of the stuff, the material, consumer-driven world that we live in, that it's stuff, stuff, stuff. And I think, you know, we say we're human beings. I think we're human stuffings. We just do stuff. And it's beyond my mind. It actually is just too much stuff. And at the same time, I participate in stuff. Because when you're a human being and you agree to be in human form, you have to have two S's. You have to have stuff and you have to have stories, right? Just so you know, a reminder, when you decided you were going to incarnate, you had to have stuff and stories. So anyway, stuff. There's nothing bad or wrong about having stuff. But my question is there a greater gift that we can give that doesn't cost anything, that we can give during the holiday season, that we could give even more of in the new year? So I lit the candle, Advent candle of love today. The third Sunday is known as and that's why the pink candle represents the love. that we're opening to what is known as the gift of love. Now, love means can mean so many things. I mean, I love my little puppy dog. I love pickleball. I love to sleep. I love hugs. I love people. I love you. I love you. You know, we have many ways to express love. And is love a noun? Like, well, the love of her children was so great. Or calling someone your love. He was the love of her life. So is it a noun? Or maybe it's a verb. You know, you love something, which means you have a great affinity for it. I love pickleball. I love shadow. I love traveling. So we have many variations of what love is. Is it an emotion? Is it a feeling? Is it a state of mind? A decision? An intention? Love is such a huge concept that we can't really, I don't think, ever come up with just one definition of it. However, I really like what Ernest Holmes, who's the founder of the Science of Mind teachings, which is very similar to Unity teachings, he says in the Science of Mind text, love is the central flame of the universe, nay, the very fire itself. It is written that God is love, that we are its expressed likeness, the image of this eternal being. Love is an essence, an atmosphere, which defies analysis as does life itself. It is that which is and cannot be explained. It is common to all people, to all animal life, and evident in the response of plants to those who love them, right? You can talk to your plants and see them thrive, or you could be mean to your plants and say mean things. You can watch. That's an experiment for you. Love reigns supreme over all. He goes on to say that the essence of love, while elusive, pervades everything. Fires the heart, stimulates the emotions, renews the soul, and proclaims the spirit. Only love knows love. Words cannot express its depth or its meaning. A universal sense alone bears witness to this fact. God is love, and love is God. So that's a real big everything is love. And we teach in Unity that principle number one is everything is God or love in form. And you might go, well, that doesn't look like love in form. And I'll get to that in a bit. But our second principle is God being everything is also me, is also you and you. Now, if this is true, why is it that human beings don't always act and behave in a loving manner? Good question. Good question. Why is it that we don't act and behave lovingly and think lovingly to ourselves and to anybody else? The word is because we have been taught, conditioned by fear. Marianne Williamson, she states that, what does she state? I know it's here somewhere. I want to get it, you know, that, this, over here. She says, love is what we're born with. Fear is what we've learned here. Love, a baby doesn't come in with fear. They're just beings of love. And then they're taught fear. See, in truth, there's only two emotions. There is the emotion that is love, and the emotion that is fear. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross states, there are only two emotions, love and fear. All positive emotions come from love, and all negative emotions come from fear. From fear comes anger, hate, anxiety, and guilt. While it's true that there are only, and from love flows the happiness and your contentment and your peace and your joy. See, we're either coming from love or we're calling for love because we're in fear. She goes on to say that you cannot feel these two emotions together. You can't be in fear and love at the same time. They're opposites. If we're in fear, we are not in a place of love. And when we're in love, we cannot be in fear. So, when I was talking about what is love, is it an emotion, a feeling, what, dot, 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 I'm going to give you my thoughts on this, that love is a decision, two things, a decision or a choice. Love is a choice. And two, love is an action. To me, those are the two ingredients of what love really is, choice and action. So, speaking of that, Neil Donald Walsh, on the same subject of fear and love, he says, every human thought, word, or deed is based in fear or love. Fear is that energy that contracts, restricts, draws in, harms, holds in. Love is the energy which expands, opens up, reveals, and heals. You have free choice about which to select. Choice. Marianne Williamson has another one. Oprah Winfrey says, I believe that every single event in our life that happens is an opportunity to choose love over fear. We have that choice. I don't know if you knew that, but I want you to think about that. I have the choice to either, and when I'm coming from a low vibration or somebody else is, they're actually calling for love. When I can recognize somebody or myself is in a lower vibration, I can go to love, and we'll talk more about what that is as a choice and an action. So I spoke to you about it's a choice, but what is the action? Now I'm going to give you the Colonel Sanders recipe for love. Now, Colonel Sanders has KFC, which stands for what? Kentucky Fried Chicken, that's right. So, I'm not saying that you need to eat Kentucky Fried Chicken as your action of love. Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC. I'm going to give you the KFCs. Before I do the KFC recipe, I want to come back to the idea of Advent, because it is what we're doing. And I spoke 2 weeks ago about what Advent is. It's preparation for the coming of something. And what is it? What's supposed to be coming is the birth of Christ consciousness. What is Christ consciousness? Would you like to know? Okay, great. Because I'm going to tell you, it's a real simple one. Christ consciousness is pure awareness. Okay, say pure awareness. Just this, you get to say it. Pure awareness, infused with unconditional love. Infused with unconditional love and unreserved compassion. And unreserved compassion. I had you say it so that that would be a little bit more ingrained in you than just hearing words going in and one out. It's pure awareness infused with unconditional love and unreserved compassion. That's it. Let's keep it simple. Although I don't know if it's that simple. So how do you have that Christ consciousness? You get the KFC recipe from Rev Liz. So, K, the first ingredient in the recipe of the KFC, Christ consciousness, is kindness. Kindness. And one of my favorite Bible verses is in 1 Corinthians 13. I'm just going to read this portion. Because it says, love is patient, love is kind. Bing. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now what I want to do is give you where it says love or it, which is referring to love, is put I am. put yourself in, because we just said God is love. I'm a love being. So putting those words in, when I speak this, I want you to take this in as your own words. I am patient. I am kind. I do not envy. I do not boast. I am not proud. I do not dishonor others. I am not self-seeking. I am not easily angered. I keep no record of wrongs. I do not delight in evil, but rejoice with truth. I always protect, always trust, always hope, and always persevere. To take the word love and insert you as that is where I'm going to shift. So for the KFC, I'm going to give you a little content, which that was, a little story or an example. The example of kindness. Anne Swinton wrote, "My young niece was standing on a corner in Portland trying to hitch a ride when a shabby old man accosted her and said, 'Say, miss, do you have a quarter?' Well, my niece turned her pockets inside out and found one, and she offered it to him. Refusing the quarter, he said, 'Good, because I have 30 cents, and with your quarter, you'll have enough money to take the bus. Hitchhiking's not safe for girls.' Whereupon he handed her his change and shuffled down the street." I don't know about you, but I just got God bumps just speaking that, right? Kindness, not self-seeking, realizing that that girl had a need and he wanted to keep her safe. That's kindness. So how do you engage in kindness? How many of you have ever heard of the random acts of kindness? Okay, great. Because I have sheets of paper that are out in the foyer, and if anybody on Cyber Sanctuary has a desire for a copy, because what this does is there's a list, and it will generate some ideas. I mean, you can do things like call a relative just to say hello. They're not hard to do. Put encouraging sticky notes around town. Now, I have to tell you, I took this to heart. When I was in Tahoe, I did sticky notes, and I'd go in the parking lot, and I'd stick them on people's windows, like, "You're awesome and amazing. Have an awesome day. Blessings are coming your way." I did. I wrote these, and I did this for a couple weeks. I just, like, randomly, and people would cut into their car, and they'd be like, "What's this?" Right? So you can do all kinds of things. Like this one, hide dollars with notes around a dollar store. Now, the sheet that I actually have out there is walk up to somebody and go, "You dropped a dollar," and they didn't, and hand them the dollar. You know, just off the wall. I mean, some of these are just to give somebody a compliment or ask if you can give a hug or let somebody else in line in front of you. There's lots of little things you can do to engage in these random acts of kindness. I like number 60 on this. This is random acts of kindness for kids. Give a letter of appreciation to your pastor. I'm like, I was like, well, that was good. They included me there. So random acts of kindness is your K in your KFC recipe, Christ consciousness to be the gift of love. Okay, we got the K. We're moving to the F, the big one called forgiveness. Forgiveness. Christmas is for giving. When I wrote that, I was like, well, there it is. You just pushed for giving together and you have forgiving. I know, right? That's what I said. Good one. So forgiveness is one of the key ingredients as a spiritual practice. And so what is forgiveness? Well, Webster's Dictionary says it's when we stop feeling angry towards someone who did us wrong or something. So, forgiveness is Also, and I really find this deep, so I know you're listening. Forgiveness is the choice to see people as expressions, extensions of God, the divine. When we're angry at people, we're angry because of something they said or did. But what people say or did is not who they are. Forgiveness acknowledges that each person is on a path of growth and evolution. Now, forgiveness does not condone an act, excuse the person who acted, nor give them the permission to do that act again. It's about releasing the burden of hurt that weighs us down. I want to be a being of light. If I'm still angry or resentful towards someone, that's not working for me to be the love and the light that I came here to be. So forgiveness is that key. Now, going back to what I said before about fear and love, when love is absent, fear sets in. Listen to this. Hurtful situations are fear in action. Hurtful situations are fear in actions. We don't think that way often. When people are manipulative, they're afraid. People who are trying to control are afraid. When people are cruel, they're afraid. When we are angry or feeling guilt, guess what? We're afraid. Love dissolves fear. If we want to get rid of the fear, we can't fight it, but we must replace it with love. Forgiveness is when we release back to the other person the responsibility for their own actions and take responsibility for our own. So, a little example. There was a house painter named Jock. He was interested in making money, and he often would thin his paint, right, so he could make more money. He got away from this for some time, but eventually a local church asked him, was looking for a bid to paint the roof. So he put in his bid, and because he gave a low bid, he got the job. So he was up on the scaffolding, painting away, and the job is nearly done, when all of a sudden, bang! A big clap of thunder came, and the sky opened up, and it started pouring down rain, and it knocked him off of the scaffold onto the lawn among the gravestones, surrounded by telltale puddles of thin and useless paint that ran off of this. Well, Jock was no fool. He knew that this was judgment from the Almighty. So he fell on his knees, and he cried, "Oh God, forgive me, what should I do?" And he heard the voice, mighty voice, say, "Repaint, repaint, and thin no more." So, we have no joy in this. There is no joy or laughter here. So, there you go. So, the word forgiveness sets us free. And I want you to know that in my file cabinet, when I open up the file cabinet and I'm going through the alphabet of things, do you know what the file is right after forgiveness? Freedom. Forgiveness leads to freedom. Just saying, I bet you didn't know that. So how can you do forgiveness to be more of the F in the KFC recipe? Well, I've spoke to you many times about the, what have I spoke to you about? All kinds of things. Oh, I know what I wanted to share with you. Here's a definition from the Course in Miracles on forgiveness. One of my favorites. Love is a shift. Forgiveness is a shift in perception, which removes a block to the awareness of love's presence. Forgiveness is a shift in perception, which removes a block to the awareness of love's presence. So what we want to do is remove that block and we want to shift our consciousness. So how do we do that? Well, Ho'oponopono, many of you know, is that four statement prayer that I often speak about, and that is when we think on a subject or person that is still upsetting to us, we repeat over and over, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. But the one I want to focus on today is called a forgiveness letter. And that is when you take a person or a situation that upsets you, you still have some lingering stuff around. You often can do this with your primary first caregivers. I have copies of the forgiveness letter, which you can take with you today. Also, those online can send me revliz@unitysantafe. I can send it to you. It's a template because I don't believe in spiritual bypass. Spiritual bypass is when we just say, well, I forgive you. But the thing is we've been hurt. Forgiveness is because we have felt hurt. And so there's some primary emotions that often don't get to be honored. By the way, your anger is divine, your sadness is divine, your fears are divine, your regrets are divine. Every aspect of your feeling is divine and needs to have a voice, to be heard, to be honored. So you write this letter to whomever that you feel that upset with, and you have a paragraph, and this letter is sentence stems, like, I hate it when you do this, and I'm mad at you for this. So you write a paragraph on your anger. Then you go to your sadness and your hurt. And then you write a paragraph on your fear. And then you write a paragraph on regrets or embarrassment. And the last one is love. Now, that's only the first half. Because the real healing happens when you get to write a response letter to whomever that was. They write back to you. And they say, Dear Liz, thank you so much for sharing your feelings. And everything I would like to hear that person say, that's what I write. I'm sorry. I didn't see you. I tried to make you be who you weren't. I wish I hadn't done that. I didn't see you. I hurt you. I was wrong. I'm sorry. All the things that that person may never be able, they can be on the other side of the veil. I did this with my mom after she passed because I needed closure. See, the subconscious does not know what is real. So by doing this letter, you can complete what you would need, your inner children, those parts that are hurt, need to hear that. And you can give it to yourself, and it actually works. So forgiveness, to be that forgiveness, pick up a letter. Do it. You know, we sometimes want to avoid our feelings, but one of the definitions of healing is applying love to the places that hurt and not stuffing it down or burying it. So, now you got your K, you got your F, and what about the big C? The big C is compassion. Compassion, and remember what the Christ consciousness was? It was pure awareness infused with unconditional love and unreserved compassion. The definition of compassion: sympathetic consciousness of another's distress, along with the desire to alleviate it. To have compassion means to empathize and to feel compelled to reduce their suffering. The component of action is what separates compassion from empathy or pity or sympathy. Compassion gets involved. So, my example and story, I know we're a little over today, but you know what? It's Christmas and it's a holiday and I get to do what I'm doing. And your kindness and your forgiveness and your compassion is overwhelming. But I'm told to feed, so here's another piece of food. So this is called Just a Few Drops, an example of compassion. It was one of the hottest days of the season. We had seen no rain for almost an entire month, and the crops were dying. The cows stopped giving milk. The streams and creeks had dried up. It was dry season, and the if we didn't get rain, it was going to bankrupt all the farmers. My husband and the brothers would go about this task of going into a place and get a local watering thing and bring in the water. So it had to be rationed. It was severe drought. One day, I learned the true lesson and witnessed the only miracle that I've ever seen with my own eyes. I was in the kitchen making lunch for my husband and his brothers when I saw my little 6-year-old son, Billy, walking towards the woods. But he was walking very carefully and not with the carefree abandon of his youth. I could only see his back. He seemed to be walking with great effort, trying to walk as still as possible. And minutes after he disappeared into the woods, he came running back to the house, so I thought nothing of it. However, as I went back to making sandwiches and looked out the window again, there was Billy walking so carefully, and I didn't know what he was doing, and he ran again back to the house. Well, I got really, really curious about what he was doing, because he was doing this for almost an hour. So I went to follow him on this journey. And I didn't want him to see me because he was seemed to be doing something very important and didn't need mommy checking up on him. He was cupping both hands in front of him, being very careful not to spill the water he held in them, maybe 2 or 3 tablespoons. I sneaked as close as possible as he entered in the woods with branches snapping on his face, but he didn't avoid them. He had a higher purpose. As I leaned in to see what he was doing, I saw the most amazing sight. Several large deer were looming in front of him. Billy walked right up to them. I almost screamed for him to get away because there was a buck with huge antlers. But the antlers didn't move. And I saw Billy kneel down and a tiny little fawn laid on the ground, suffering from heat exhaustion and dehydration. It lifted its head up and took a few laps of the little bit of water in Billy's hand. When the water was gone out of his hands, he jumped up and ran back to the house. Again, I was hiding behind a tree to see what he was doing. He went over to the spigot that we had shut the water off to, opened it up, and was waiting for the water to drop into his hands, making his makeshift cup, as the sun beat down on his little back. It became clear to me the trouble that he had gotten into for playing with the hose the week before, the lecture that he had received about not wasting water, and the reason why he hadn't asked me to help him. It took him about 10 minutes to fill his hands with drops of water. When he stood up, he looked at me standing there, and his eyes filled with tears, and he said, "I'm not wasting." As he began his walk, I joined him with a small pot of water from the kitchen. I let him tend to the fawn. I stayed away. It was his job. I watched the most beautiful heart I'd ever known working so hard to save the life of another. As the tears rolled down my face and began to hit the ground, they were suddenly joined by other drops. I looked up at the sky. It was as if God itself was weeping with pride. Some would say that this was just a huge coincidence. Miracles don't really exist. It was bound to rain sometime. I can't argue with that, and I won't try. All I can say is that the rain that came that day saved our farm, just like the actions of that little boy saved another. I don't know if anyone will read this, but I had to send it to honor the memory of my beautiful Billy, who was taken from me too soon, but not before showing me the true face of God in a little sunburned body. Compassion. He had compassion. He didn't just feel sorry or sad for the little deer. He took action. Action is the key to compassion. How can you engage in more compassion in that recipe? Two questions you ask, remembering that everybody's either coming from love or they're calling for love. When you or another are in a low vibrational feeling, ask the question, what is it that you need to that person? What is it you need right now? And listen, you can ask yourself when you're having low vibration, what is it that I need right now? So you're asking, what is the need, with sincerity, because then you can take an action to go with it. And the other question is, just simply ask the question, what would love do? Listen for the answer and then take the action. So now you have the KFC recipe for the Christ consciousness to be the pure awareness infused with unconditional love and unreserved compassion. You can be the gift of love to everyone. And as we engage in these three areas, the KFC, kindness and the forgiveness and the compassion, then we bring more joy and light and love to the world. And we can all then just climb on to that, the sleigh ride of unconditional love, of divine love, because it's who we are. And so it is. And so it is.